Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Tonight's message is wake up. Is that, nobody sees anything in that? Yeah, God knows what he's doing. It's fun when we kind of come in line and we can see that we get to be a piece of it. But we're going to jump straight in today. I only have 2 hours, so I got a lot to do. And no? Is that too much? Okay. We're going to jump right into the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading verses 22 through 24, and then we're going to jump over to verse 35. Same chapter, Mark chapter 5, beginning in 22 through 24, and then jumping 35 to 42. The Bible says, "Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.'" What's this one say? So Jesus went with him. He did exactly what he asked. Jesus went with him. Jump over to verse 35. We're going to skip a few there. Verse 35 says, "While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' they said. 'Why bother the teacher anymore?' Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, 'Don't be afraid, just believe.'" Let's see. Skip that one, brother. "He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they had come to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, 'Talitha cum,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise,' or 'Get up.' Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished." Okay, now there's several things that we're going to touch on with this. We're going to kind of go right back through the beginning of it. First point I want to look at is verses 22 through 24. The first thing is what happened when Jairus had a problem. What was the first thing that the scripture tells us that he did? The first thing that he did was he sought Jesus. He knew, I've got something that's bigger than me. I got a real issue. I got something going on, and I obviously do not have an answer. There's not anything that I can do to fix this. So he sought Jesus. He knew where his answer was. The next thing he did is he fell at his feet, or he humbled himself. What he did, in order for him to be at his feet, now I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us how tall Jairus was. He may have been like 6'5". He may have been looking down on Jesus as he stood face to face with him. But my Bible tells me that he humbled himself. He made sure that he was smaller than Jesus was. He got on his face at his feet. And then he began to ask. He didn't ask first and then get down. He got down. He put himself down low. And then he said, "Jesus, here's what I need. Here's what my issue is." The third thing that he did was he asked for help. It wasn't any long, drawn-out thing. Of course, I'm sure if it was his daughter dying, he would have pleaded and begged and done anything that he needed to. But all he really had to do was just ask for help. You know, that's how Jesus works for us. We don't have to go to him with a bunch of Hail Marys and beg him and plead him. All we have to do is ask. The Bible tells us in Matthew, ask and you shall receive. Is that not what it says? Do you have a different translation? That's what mine says, right? So we know that if we'll go there and ask, he'll do exactly that we've asked. What does verse 24 tell us that he did? Verse 24 says, "So Jesus went with him." It didn't say Jesus said nice things to him. It said Jesus went with him, meaning he walked beside him. He walked side by side with Jairus, and he said, okay, you've came to me. You got an issue. You've came to me. Here we go. I'll go with you. You win. I'm going to go. Let's go take care of your problem. Now, the scriptures that we skipped over, let's just touch those. That we skipped from 24 down to 35, it's a story that's familiar to all of us. It's where Jesus, the lady with the issue of blood, right? They left. Jesus and Jairus left. They were heading back to the synagogue, and that's when they were in the crowd of people. And in this crowd of people comes one little lady who's had an issue of blood, and she said, man, that guy Jesus is coming through, and if I can just, I don't even have to say nothing. I ain't going to talk to him. If I can just get close enough just to touch a little piece of his clothing, I know that there's enough in him to heal me. So one of the things that stuck out to me is, man, how confident must Jairus have been knowing that, you know, all this hope that he put in, that my little girl's about to die and I'm fixing to make this journey. He's the leader of the synagogue, right? The leaders usually can just send somebody to do stuff for him, can they not? Jairus didn't send somebody to go talk to Jesus. He said, I'm going. This is a big enough deal that I'm going to handle this one myself. I'm going and I'm going to find him. So what the Bible tells me is that Jairus found him. He got the answer. He got the approval. He said, yes, I'll go with you. And then on the process of that journey, he gets to witness one of the most awesome transitions of this lady that the Bible tells us about. I mean, this lady didn't ask for anything. All she did was just brush the hem of his garment, and the Bible says she was made whole. Jesus felt the virtue leave him. That means he didn't say anything. He didn't approve it. He felt it go out, right? That's what it says. So, you know, this has got to have Jairus a little jacked up, right? He's like, okay, yeah, I definitely got the right guy. This lady didn't even say nothing. She just touched him and was healed. I've got him. He's walking beside me. I know that my problem's about to be answered. My problem is about to be taken care of. But then what happens? That's where we pick up in verse 35. Okay, now verse 35 tells us, while he was still speaking. Now, the still speaking he's talking about was Jesus still speaking to the people there in the multitude. While he's still speaking in one miracle, here they come. You've got them, I got them, and Jairus had them too. They're people that come up and say, hey, it's too late, man. You missed it. It's too late. Your promise is gone. The girl's dead. This one's over. Your marriage is done. Your business is bankrupt. Everything is finished. You just missed it. Yeah, we see that you're with him, but it's too late now. Why bother the teacher any further? Is that not what they said? Why bother him anymore? You know, naysayers, those doubters, they're here to do nothing but steal everything that Jesus has in store for you. Their only purpose is just to discourage you, because if we can have doubt, then that's obviously the opposite of faith, right? Is doubt. So if the Bible tells me that if I just have faith enough, if I just believe, then I know that those are the things that I need to have. But these people are here just to plant doubt in our head. But Jairus didn't want another daughter. He wanted this one to live. So it didn't matter to him. He didn't want another promise. He didn't want another opportunity. He wanted this one. This one right here. And what the Bible tells us next in verse 36 is, as soon as Jesus heard them, as soon as they heard them, okay, he said, don't be afraid, just believe, right? He reestablished that faith. He reestablished that, hey, you came to me, you had a problem, you came to me, you didn't go ask them to help your daughter, you came to me, and I told you that I'll go with you. Don't look at them, don't listen to them, keep your focus on me, keep your focus on him. It doesn't matter what your issue is. Jairus' problem was that his daughter was dying. Yours may be that your marriage is crumbling, or that you've got loved ones who are lost, and people say, not that guy, that guy will never make it. There's a lot of us that are like that. I for one, man, if you guys knew me when I was 18, you'd start throwing stuff right now. It was bad, you know? Some people in here remember that old guy. I could tell by the faces. But if you knew back then what you can see right now, you'd say, no way. Not that guy. Not that guy right there. There's no hope for him. You know, but thank God I serve a God who said he's not dead. He's just asleep. I know how to wake him up, and he'll do it, right? Some of us out here, we need to speak to our dreams. We need to speak to our problem and say, it's time to wake up. Because I got the master and he's walking right beside me. He told me that he'll come with me. And I don't care what you come in and say. I don't care what seeds of doubt you try to plant. I ain't going to water them. It ain't going to grow here. I'll get my wife to go pull weeds. I'll get your stuff out of here. It ain't working at my house. Okay. So, but one of the, put that slide up, the one. I saw this the other day. It was kind of cool. Jumped out at me. Not once does the Bible say worry about it. Not once does it say stress over it or figure it out, but over and over it clearly says, trust God. Isn't that what it says? It says, trust God. It's as easy as that, man. If we really sold out to that, if we really put our soul focus on that, just like Jairus did, and you know, when we've all done it, when you get in that place where it's just desperate enough, and you're just, God, I know. Why do we have to wait until we know that we know that we know there's nothing we can do about it before we cry out to him? Isn't that a shame? How much easier would it be if we just trusted God for the little stuff? Would life not be so much easier if I didn't have to be just broken and beaten and then say, oh, God, help me? Well, he can help me while I'm still standing up. I don't have to be beat down for him to reach in and say, hey, I'm glad you called me. I was waiting on you. I was wondering how long it was going to take you. You didn't have to go through all that. You should have just turned to me in the beginning and trust God. Amen. Woo-hoo. Verse 37. Let's jump on that one. Now, the next thing that happens in here, first, Jesus gave reassurance. We saw after verse 36. As soon as he heard him, he offered reassurance. God said, do not be afraid, only believe. You came to me with the problem, and I agreed to walk with you. Why would you ever let someone else stop you? It's one of those Jeremiah 29:11 things. Now, pastor spoke to several people up front. I don't remember if it was Sunday or Wednesday on a prophecy. And he spoke into several lives up here that it's a Jeremiah 29:11 thing. We know that to be the scripture that says, for I have a plan for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and the future. So if I know that, and I live that, and I know that it's a 29:11 thing, and I don't have to worry about these things that come in that look like it's going to knock it out. If he has a plan, isn't that all I need? Do I need a plan if he already has one? I ain't calling no audibles here. I trust the one he called in. I'll run that one. That's the one he called. We're going to run it, right? Verse 37 says, first off, before we read 37, what I want us to look at is not here. We see in the Bible there's a lot of really important things that Jesus says. Most of them's highlighted in red because we want to signify that importance. But I don't want to look at what Jesus said in this one. I want to look at his action. I want to look at what Jesus did. And verse 37 says that he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now, why is that? Because he had just had all these people coming in saying, hey, it's too late, it's over, your dream's dead, everything's gone, it's not going to make it. And he said, hey, sometimes you got to separate yourself. Sometimes you got to shut everybody else aside and say, only the believers, I'm going to pick these three right here, and these are the ones that are going to go with me. We got something important to go do right here, and I can't have just everybody around me that's trying to steal that from me while I'm on the process. I'm in the middle of a journey to go there and get it. I'm not taking people who don't believe I'm going to get there with me. Does that make sense? That doesn't make much sense. I don't need a backseat driver telling me I'm taking a wrong turn every time I go. You may as well turn around. We ain't never going to get there. So Jesus said that he separated himself. Sometimes we have to do that. I believe the New King James Facebook version says that he deleted them from Instagram. He blocked them on Facebook. He didn't let nobody go with him. Y'all can't be part of what I'm in right now because I'm going somewhere. I know exactly where I'm going. I've got the man with me that's going to take me there, and you're not going to stop me from that. You're not going to come in and intervene. You're not going to plant seeds of doubt in me. So we don't get what we need by saying what Jesus says, but we get there by doing what Jesus does. Is that true? Yeah. I can copy him all day. I can read the Bible. I can tell you everything that Jesus said. But it's when I start doing what Jesus did that you're going to see a difference in me, right? It's when you start doing the same things that Jesus did that you're going to see the same things in you. When you separate yourself and you say, no, I know we've been friends for a long time, but for the next little while, we ain't even going to talk. because I've got a mission in front of me. I've got a focus, and my focus is on him and what he said I can do. And you, although you're a good person and I still love you, I ain't saying nothing bad about him. I'm just saying you can't be with me right now. That's what Jesus said. He took just a few with him until the plan that he had set forth was completed. We pick up verse 38. What has Jesus said? When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion? The child is not dead, but asleep." Can I tell you tonight, there's people sitting in here that your vision is not dead. That loved one that you've been praying for secretly in just your, you ain't telling anybody else about it, but it's just one focal point that you've had on your mind that you've been praying about. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus said it is not dead? It doesn't matter what everybody else said. I mean, this girl was dead. Everyone saw her. When they got to the house, all the family was there and they were just flipping out. They were wailing in a commotion because they had seen her. They knew she was dead. They watched her die. They knew it to be true. But Jesus says that is not the case. You know, it doesn't matter what the world tells us or how far apart some. I had an uncle that, man, if you knew this cat, you'd say ain't no hope for him, you know. And I remember, and that was kind of one of the things that this message came to me. I was thinking about this one individual, and I thought, God, it's just amazing to me that he's saved now. And he's in church, because he was one of those, like, all through growing up, there just ain't no chance that he's there. He's never going to change. He enjoys doing what he does. He's good at being bad. He's not changing. You know, and to see God wake somebody up just in an instance, just in a, all he had to do was speak a word to him, and his whole life changed. How awesome is it that we serve a God that doesn't have to do a whole bunch of things? There's no voodoo hex. He just speaks the word, and it is what he says it is. That's the God that I want to put my faith into. That's the one that I'm going to serve. That's the one that I'm going to follow. That's the one that I'm going to put others aside me out and say, no, you can't come right now because I'm following him. I'm focused and I'm determined to do exactly what he said. So Jesus says, why are you so worked up? She's not dead. You know, your promise isn't dead. Again, we're reminded, do not be afraid, only believe. Who did you turn to when you had the issue? Then focus on that. Focus on who your prayer went up to. You know, my prayer didn't go out to my Facebook friends. I didn't post on Facebook, you guys. I mean, I see that all the time. People praying, that's great. I ain't knocking it, but you know, I just didn't my thing. I'm praying to you, to him. That's who I'm praying to. I appreciate yours. If you hear things and you share prayers with me and my family, thank you. I appreciate it. But that's not what I'm counting on. I appreciate them. I love to receive them. But I'm not betting anything on whether or not you're going to get down and pray for me tonight. I've got a direct line. I don't need a three-way call. I've got a direct line to him. I can tap in whenever I'm ready for it, right? We all have that. You've got that. Jesus said, arise, is what he said to this little girl. There's some of us in here tonight that we need to take control, man. We got to stop being just beaten around all over the place because all our circumstances change. Dude, circumstances are going to change every day for Christians and non-Christians. It doesn't matter whether you're willfully serving God, you're doing the absolute best you can, or you're half in the ring right now because you know you still got all these other issues. Guess what? So do we. We all have issues. That's why we're here. We're not here because we're the holy group. We're here to try to be holy. But I know some of y'all, so you can't fool. And you know me, so I ain't even going to try to front it to you, right? It's the fact that I need Jesus. That's why I'm here. I'm not here because Jesus already did it for me. I'm here because I don't want him to quit because I still got a whole lot he's got to clean up for me. You know, Bradley and I were sharing some stories, and I was sharing just a piece of my testimony with him from Old Lavelle, and some of that I'm sure he wasn't probably ready for. Probably didn't know some of that was coming out, but it made me think while we were talking. I was sharing with him how the night that I came to ask you, Jesus, to help me, that I was just broken, man. I mean it couldn't get any worse. It could not get worse than it was November 13th of 1998 when I finally just I'm talking snot bubbles, some of that kind of crying in front of a whole room full of people that I didn't care how many of them were looking at me. It wasn't about pride and how good I looked. It was about this is the bottom. This is I didn't have to get down. I was down. I couldn't get any lower than what I was. And I prayed this simple prayer that just said, God, everybody that I know lives like I live. So how am I going to change when the first person I run into at the store tomorrow is going to remind me of who I am? Not who I want to be, but who I am, because right now I still am that guy. That's still who I am. There's not any change that's taken place in me. I hadn't been woken up yet, right? But I prayed that prayer, God, and I meant it. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change it. I don't know how to live any different than who I am right now. But I'm willing. Man, if you'll help me. But it's got to be you. Don't put this on me. I don't know how. I'm telling you up front before we even start. You know, I mean, if you ask me to build you something, which my wife does all the time, if y'all ask her, I can build anything. Now, I don't always do it, but I could. I could build one of them. But if you ask me to build something, and I told you up front, listen, I don't have any idea how to do this. Don't know where to start, don't know how to do it, but I'll help you. Not many of us would jump on to that. I appreciate it, but I'll check around. I'm sure there's somebody else that can do it. Well, that's exactly how I was, but I said, God, you have to be the one. You've got to show me how to wake up tomorrow and start tomorrow. I'm not looking to change 3 months from now. I'm talking right now. How do I be different? How do I change? And that night was when he spoke into my heart and he said, wake up. There you are. That's what I needed. I needed for you to acknowledge it. I needed you to acknowledge that you don't have any idea what you're doing. And now that you can admit that, let's go. Now I'll go with you. And I'll start to change these things in you. And he did that. He did it. It was a process. I didn't change things overnight. There's still stuff. It's been many a night since then. I'm still working on changing things. But thank God I serve the one who doesn't expect me to change it all. He knows that I can. Isn't it good to know that he understands that it isn't about you? You couldn't change it if you wanted to. I couldn't raise my arm in the air if he didn't let me do that right now. And when we realize that and we grasp a hold of that, and I believe that's what he spoke into Jairus that night and said, don't be afraid, only believe. You trusted in me. What if, man, if we just tapped into that. If we just really, if you sold out to it and you really bought into that, just imagine what your life would be like. Imagine how much different your own circumstance would be if you absolutely sold out to that notion that, God, I trust you. I do not need the answer. I don't need to know what to do. I just got to know that it's a 29-11 thing. God, I just got to know that I'm part of the plan. I don't have to understand the plan. I just got to know I'm in it. That's where I'm at right now. I don't understand all the stuff that's going on. I'm no different than anybody else in here. I pray all the time, God, what's happening? What do I do? Which move do I make? Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I just shut up? What do I do? Tell me to shut up. I'll do that. What do I do? But tell me something. You know? But I began to pray, and I said, God, just let me know I'm in the plan. As long as I'm in the plan, you know, what looks like utter chaos to me is a plan perfectly unfolding to him. That's the world that we live in. That's the life that we're in right now. But picking back up, verse 38, 39, those are the ones we read. Yeah, so reading, picking up verse 40. Says, but they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. Now, who were they laughing at? Were they laughing at Jairus? Were they laughing at Jesus? I mean, Jesus is the one that just said, why are y'all making such a commotion? The girl's not dead, she's sleeping. And what they do to him, to the Almighty, to the King of Kings, what was they did? They laughed at him. They mocked him. Okay, so why would I expect anything different? Why would I expect anything other than what they did to the King of Kings? If he told them and they laughed at him, God knows they're going to be picking at me, yeah. Right? So if I know that and I'm prepared for it, then it shouldn't really knock me out of my place, should it? Because I'm looking for that one. I know fastball's coming right down the middle, right? So don't be alarmed by that. Just expect it. look for it. When you start to separate yourself and you start to put a few people out, don't expect them to go quietly. Don't expect them to just say, okay, I understand she's on a mission and I'm not going to bother her for a few days. No, they're going to talk about how crazy you are and she's holy rolling and all of a sudden I guess she's holier than thou. Can't be around none of us. She deleted her Facebook page. It's going to happen. So be ready for it. Expect it. Don't be shocked. But do exactly what Jesus did. It says after they laughed at him, after they ridiculed him, he still put them outside. He didn't say, all right, well, a couple of y'all can stay then, right? He still put them outside, did he not? He put them outside, and then he took the father and the mother of the child and those who he brought with him, and he went in there. He went in to the child. He took her by the hand. He touched her, right? He grabbed a hold to it. He got a hold of the promise, just like you got to do. You got to grab a hold of your promise or your loved one or whoever it is, whatever your issue is that God's put on your heart tonight. Get a hold of it. And he said, arise. Simple. Arise. Get up. Wake up. Move forward. Believe. Right? A turtle will stay in the same place till he sticks his neck out. Right? He'll stay right there in that shell. He's protected. Can't hurt him. He's all right. Sometimes that's how we have to be in our own lives. You got to take a chance, man. You got to take some risk. How many of us read our little devotionals each day? Did you read that one today for the 10th? Man, that was hot. It was good stuff. It talked about that. When the light's green, go. Don't second guess. Don't always wait. When it's time, hit it, man. Hit it hard. If you're going to win, then go do it. I say this saying all the time, winners win, man. It's just what we do. In my job and in work, I'm always just trying to encourage and uplift and keep our teams motivated and in selling, which is what our devotional today was talking about, was in sales. But it's about your attitude. It's about your mindset. It's about what you believe, and it's a confidence. I say it all the time. We don't hope to win. We expect to because we're prepared. I know what I've got to do. I've got to go out and get this, and we're going to do it because winners win. That's just what we do. It's not any other alternative for me. It may take me longer to win. Sometimes you may go into triple overtime. But by God, winners win. And they still do because they keep going. You press forward. You do whatever you got to do. Just like this, Jairus went all this way. He found the master. He said, God, I need you. Come help me. Jesus agreed, came to him. In closing night, there's something I want to do that's kind of special to me. Is I'm going to have a song that my wife is going to come sing for us. Awesome song, ties in with our message tonight. But before we close, I just want to ask you, do you need a wake-up call? Can it be a subtle one? Make it subtle, because I can tell you, you don't want the wake-up that I got. When that alarm sounded for me, you couldn't shut it off. It didn't go off. I couldn't turn that one off for a long time, right? Make it easy. Be a light sleeper, right? When you hear it, move. When he nudges you, get up, right? There's some people in here tonight, and specifically I was out on the porch last night studying, and the Spirit spoke to me, and he said, not only in the house, but that there was an individual specifically, and you know who you are, that's listening to this on podcast. And there's a message that God had for you, and that's that this is for you. You've been asking for a sign, and this is it. Wake up. Here's your opportunity. Wake up and take it. Okay? I'm thankful that God allowed me this word. I've got two sets of notes here that you guys can see. This one is dated April the 14th of 2002. Back as a young baby-faced little youth pastor, this was the first message that I ever preached when God called me 12 years ago. The first thing that I ever stood up behind a pulpit in front of our auditorium or our main worship and preached was to wake up. And I thought I'd lost these notes. I was reading in my Bible a couple months back, and I found it you know, back behind my case, tucked up in there. I thought, how about that, man? And as I began reading over those notes, I said, how true is that? The same word that was true 12 years ago fits in exactly with the same situation that I'm in today. With the same stuff, you know, the word says that it'll last forever. It never grows old. It doesn't have an expiration date. But I'm thankful that 12 years later, and I'm still hanging on. It's been rocky now. I've taken some lumps, and not only have I fallen, but I've jumped off a few times. I left on purpose, right? Anybody else? Am I the only one? That's okay. That's all right. I ain't here to judge you. I mean, I will. I'm going to Facebook y'all when I get out of here, but that's fine. I'm going to tag you in it. Yeah. But it's good to know that even when we jump off, we can still come back. Even when I mess up on purpose, and I still sometimes do, right? That I still serve a God that said, man, I'm incapable of not loving you. How about that? He's incapable of not loving us, of not wanting more for us.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.